Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
They said they're up for adventure. No one else really was. So what we're going to do is, Brendan at the back, we're going to scrap all of the slides that you have there. And if you could just pull up Jonah, first chapter for us. I love the book of Jonah. How many of us know the book of Jonah? Have heard of the book of Jonah? Let's be honest, how many of us have read the book of Jonah? Few of us have, actually. It's one of those books that we often read about, we hear about, we know about, but we don't really read. We read it, but we don't read it. We sometimes miss that the book of Jonah is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the book of Jonah is central to, it's the inspired word of God. It is profitable for instruction, for correction, for reproof, that the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work. That's the book of Jonah, as much as all of the other books in Scripture. And so I don't even know why I have this here, except that I can cheat. So what I'm going to do is open this thing. Hopefully it works. There we go. You see. And we're going to look at the book of Jonah, the story of Jonah. And I was struck by this for a couple of reasons. They asked me to do. How many of you guys read on the YouVersion the verse of the day? A handful of you. How many read it in Afrikaans? Not too many of you. But about 600,000 people read that every day. And so we have an open door. And from time to time, we do verse of the day. And kind of they asked me to do some verse of the day for this week. And I made a quick video on Jonah. And at the same time, my children found this cool new YouTube channel. YouTube sometimes is fun. With how many of you know Lego stop motion? How many of you watch cool Lego stop motion videos? Those things that take hours to make, little movement, and you got these Lego guys doing all bunch of crazy things. There are people who've decided they want to translate, if that's the right word, it's not the word they use, scripture into Lego stop motion. So they've started making Lego stop motion of Bible accounts. And they've done Jonah and the whale. They've done, when my kids know, they'll be able to say, we watched one of Matthew, Jesus speaking to the woman and saying, go and sin no more. And we watched David and Goliath in Lego stop motion. And it's really cool. So we're going to read here from Jonah chapter 1. I love Jonah. Jonah's a prophet. So often we think of a prophet as somebody who foretells the future. I think that's a bad definition of prophecy. Prophecy is far more about speaking the heart of God. What is God saying over and into a situation? That's prophecy. And so Jonah is a prophet. Jonah is a man who lives out the heart and the purpose of God. But Jonah, like you and like me, is sometimes a disobedient prophet. One of the reasons I love the story of Jonah is Jonah is the only man in Scripture that I know of, there could be more, the only one I've seen, who disobeyed God because he believed him. Let me say that again. Jonah disobeyed God because he believed God. Most of us, when we disobey God, it's because we don't believe. We don't trust. We don't have faith. Jonah knew what was going to happen if he obeyed God. And he didn't want what God was going to do, so he disobeyed him. And so here is Jonah. The Lord gave this message to Jonah. He's the son of Amittai. He says, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I've seen how wicked its people are. Now, there's a whole story about Jonah, of Nineveh, the city. We'll see we're not going to get to it today, but in, I think it's the third or the fourth chapter, he eventually goes to Nineveh. It takes about 3 days to walk through Nineveh. Maybe I'm going to just run ahead and I'm going to come back to the story we're going to look at today. So Jonah runs away. That's a bit we're going to zoom into this morning. Eventually, he comes back to God. He realizes it is a stupid thing to run away from Jesus. He starts following Jesus. He goes to Nineveh. He proclaims judgment over the city. He says, the way that you guys are living, it's wrong. God is going to judge you. The people of Nineveh hear it. They realize the way we are living is wrong. God is going to judge us, we need to change. The whole city goes into a fast. The most extreme fast in all of Scripture. Not even the animals are allowed to eat. Like a proper, proper, full-on fast. So they go and they fast. Sackcloth and ash. Jonah has just said, God is going to destroy you if you don't listen. So Jonah goes and he finds a little hill outside the city and he kind of sets up his entertainment center. And he watches over the city and he's like, the city is about to just be destroyed. I'm going to watch it. And then God doesn't destroy the city. And Jonah's like, God, I knew it. I knew if I came and warned the people, you wouldn't destroy them because they were going to turn from, that's why I didn't come. And God says, but I love my people. I didn't want to destroy them. My plan wasn't to bring destruction. My plan was to bring redemption. And Jonah, you were the agent of redemption. And that's sort of the story, kind of the large picture of the book of Jonah. But I want us to get away back just to the still first bit of Jonah running away. So Jonah, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it because I've seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. I love this. Jonah gets a place in Scripture. Jonah gets a book in Scripture. And he ran away from God. That sometimes makes me feel better about my life. He went down to the port of Joppa. Where do we go now? Ooh. We're dying. Okay, there we go. This is better. Jonah got up and went opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket, went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord. You want to find the definition of insanity? Here it is. Thinking you can run away from God. Some people love to say, Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. I say that's the definition of lying because Albert Einstein, for one, never said that. And for two, it's probably not true. Yes, we need to change. Our thinking needs to evolve. But sometimes in Scripture, in following Jesus, we just call doing the same thing faithfulness. Sometimes God calls us to faithfulness, to keep doing the same thing. And trusting and hoping, as we see throughout Scripture, people doing the same things faithfully, continually, and at some stage, God just says, now, and he breathes over it. And it changes nations. But this, I would think, is insanity. I know God. It's not like I'm an atheist. It's not even like I'm an agnostic, and I don't know whether there is. I know there is a God. I know he is holy. I know he is righteous. I know he's holy forever, and I'm going to run away from him. That's stupid. But he does it nevertheless. He thinks if I get on a ship, I can get away from God. Sometimes I wish I could be sort of in the counsel of God, you know, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I would love to see this moment. The way I picture God, I'm seeing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit looking down on this. They see Jonah gets on the ship. The Father just looks at Jesus and he just smiles. He's like, look at this fool. What does he think? Is he going to run away from us? Come and kind of have a nice little laugh. We're going to protect him. We're going to care for him. But I think God is like, I think God sometimes looks at our stupidity and he just laughs. Sometimes I look at my kids and their stupidity and I enjoy it. I know they're not hurting themselves. I was like, this is really cute. And I think sometimes God looks at us and thinks, man, you guys are so cute. You think you can run away from the God who created the heavens and the earth? Tonight when you go out and you find the faintest, dimmest star that you can possibly see in Pretoria, which probably isn't so far away because it's Pretoria, but then you go to the bush and you find one that's like a gazillion light years away, God says, I put that there and guess what? I'm there too. And Jonah, you think you can run away from me. Good luck with that one. I hope it was a cheap ticket. Okay. He buys a ticket. He gets on board. He hopes to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened the ship to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help. They threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. All this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. I love the story. There's just so much about the story that's like comedy. There's this ship that's about to sink. It's almost breaking up. The guys who know the sea, the sailors, they're panicking. They're throwing the food and everything overboard just to lighten the ship. We want to save the ship. Where's Jonah? Jonah's sleeping. He's like thinking, I need to get far away from God. Maybe let me go and sleep. Let me go. And at the same time, Jonah knows God has got me. I know I'm trying to run away from God, but I also know God is not going to abandon me. So here's this Jonah in the bottom of the ship. So the captain goes down, finds him. He says, how can you sleep at a time like this? Get up and pray to your God. He says, quickly stand up. Look around you. You look different to us. You speak different to us. You're not from us. We're all praying to our gods. You better start doing the same. Somewhere one of his gods is going to answer and save us. We don't actually care which one. We just care that we are saved. So pray to your gods. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives. And I can almost imagine Jonah saying, but I don't want to. I know my God can save us. But I also know what he's going to say to me. I also know he's going to say, Nineveh's the other way. Can I send you a map? You know, do you need a pin on your phone? Kind of a, maybe you bought the wrong ticket. I know what's going to happen in this conversation. I know God is going to say, I must go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'm going to hide in the bottom of the ship. I don't want to pray. Maybe he'll save our lives. Then the crew cast lots. So they kind of drew sticks or they threw dice. We don't know exactly kind of what they did. But they did some sort of very practical way to find out, type of divination, whose fault is this whole thing? Which is just fascinating to me that they understand that this is a supernatural storm. This isn't a normal storm. This storm isn't a storm that comes kind of every time we sail. This is somebody's fault that's happening right here. Jonah knows it's his fault. Jonah knows I've messed up. I'm running away from God. I'm not listening to God. God is speaking to me. God is pushing me in a direction. I'm going in a different direction. And now God is kind of saying, no. He's making it hard for me to go in a different direction. Just as an aside, God isn't judging him. God hasn't set down a lightning bolt from heaven to kill him. God is just making it really, really uncomfortable to run the wrong way. He's like, there is an easy way. There is a right way or there is a hard way. You want to go the hard way, you can, but it's hard. He's going the wrong way. Maybe he'll pay attention to us to save our lives. The crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. And I want to see this DVD. One day in heaven, I'm going to pull up this DVD and I'm going to watch what actually happened here. Some of you may be cricket watchers. I watch a little bit of cricket from time to time. And they've got this new thing in cricket now called DRS, Decision Review System. And so what happens if you hit the ball, and sometimes it's very faint kind of when you're batting and it's the guy behind catches the ball and they all heard the noise, but the umpire didn't. And maybe you can get away with not being out, but you know you've hit it. So in days past, the gentlemen of cricket, they would hit it and they wouldn't even look at the umpire. They know they've hit it and you walk. The not so gentlemen, they'll turn around, not look at the umpire. I hope he didn't hear. Hope to sort of survive because the umpire can make a mistake. Now they've got the decision review system where they've got a very fine little sensitive microphone and it picks up very clearly whether you've hit the ball or not. And they give a little picture of the sound and you can see there's a spike. So it's not even just hearing it. You can see with your eye he's definitely hit it. So now guys kind of sometimes they miss kind of and they hit it and the umpire gets it wrong. And then the moment somebody calls for the decision review, the guy starts walking off. He knows he's out. He's like, yes, I'm guilty. And you kind of see on his face, he's like hoping. And the moment they say decision review, he's like, ah, shucks, they know. And he goes, I'm not going to survive now. I see Jonah exactly like that. Like they're casting lots and he's trying to pretend and kind of be all innocent. And the lot falls on him. He's like, flip, I knew. Guys, you could have just asked me. It's my fault. I know it's my fault. I hit the ball. I'm out. They identify Jonah as this culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They did. So it's your fault. Why are we in this mess? This crisis, this crazy situation. Who are you? What is your line of work? I love it when they ask a prophet. What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. Jonah's a man filled with faith. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. He's not even hiding the fact that he, why do you want to come on the ship? I want to come on the ship because my God is chasing me. I need to get away from my God. Okay, welcome, I'm on our ship. You know, that kind of conversation has happened. Why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it'll become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. These sailors are nice guys. They don't want to kill the guy. They realize if we cast the guy out in the middle of the sea, the middle of the ocean, there's no land anywhere close by. It's ticket. It's game over for him. Let's try and at least save him. We're not like the pirates in kind of the movies. Just the quicker we can throw someone overboard, the better. We're trying to save one another's lives here. You know, we're nice people. They rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. I want to pause there just for a moment. Now I look at Jonah's situation. You know, sometimes I realize, sometimes I'm Jonah. Sometimes I find myself in situations where maybe God has spoken and I've started running in a different direction. I'm like, if I can keep myself busy enough with this, maybe God will forget that he said that. If I can do well enough in this area of my life, if I can grow well enough here, if I can just build this thing, God's going to forget that. So we start going and we start rowing in a different direction. We buy a ticket and we get on a ship that's sailing in a different direction. The more we sail in a direction, the harder it becomes sailing in that direction. God is happy to send a storm. He's not killing anyone. He's not destroying anyone. He's just making it very hard to stay on the other road. You know what begins to happen, like you, maybe, and me? When we're on that space, we're like, God, this is all my fault. I know it's my fault. So I'm going to go hide in the bottom of a ship. I'm not going to come back to God. I'm not going to fall on my knees and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to just run even deeper. Where's the furthest on the ship I can get away from God? The bottom of the ship. We plunge in deeper. We press down more. The problem gets bigger. It's all our fault. We find ourselves in a mess of our own doing. Maybe it's just me. I don't know if anybody here, has anybody here ever found yourself in a mess, if you're honest, of your own doing? We love blaming other people for the messes we find ourselves, but eventually we're like the prodigal son. I love how it speaks. The prodigal son's finally he came to himself. I read that he blamed everyone else for his troubles. Eventually we realize this is my problem. I'm on the ship out of my disobedience. I chose to get on the ship. I chose to run away from God. I chose to build this, to go in this direction. The only person to blame for the situation is me. We find ourselves in these situations, and Jonah's exactly there. Then maybe we go to some people and we say, listen, I'm in this mess. My ship is sinking, and it's my fault. And maybe the people around us, they want to do their best to save us, so they row even harder. They help us. They're like, we're not going to let you sink here. We're not going to let you die. We're going to row even harder. We're going to try even more. We're going to do the best we can. And they're exerting. Everyone is fighting to keep my ship afloat. But on the inside, I know the reason my ship is sinking is because I'm not listening to God. God is sitting up in heaven, looking at this. Maybe with me, maybe not you. Maybe Jonah, definitely me, and say, flip. Can one person be this stubborn? How hard-headed can this guy be? But I love how Jesus always has a plan. So eventually these guys cried out to the Lord. They pleaded. They said, don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. And I love this. I don't know if you guys have picked this up when you read this. These people who pray to all of their gods are now suddenly praying to one God. Suddenly they're not interested in all of the other gods. They know there is one God who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and the land. The God that Jonah serves, and that's the one that they are praying to. They say, don't keep us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent the storm upon him for your own good reasons. The sailors picked Jonah up, threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. But guess what? Jonah's in the middle of the sea, by himself. No life raft, not one of these big, round, red and white floating things that can keep him alive. Can't swim to the land. The ship is okay. They're carrying on. Sometimes I wonder, when the storm stopped after they threw him overboard, did they ever think, let's bring him back? Hey, the storm's gone. Let's bring the guy back on board. But sometimes we find ourselves there. Maybe the people, they've turned their back on us. They've tried their best. Eventually they've said, there's no more hope. We find ourselves in the middle of an ocean and it feels like it's just me and I am going to drown. Don't know if you've ever been there. Sometimes we find ourselves there. And the worst part is we can't even blame anyone else. And if you're like me, sometimes we feel too ashamed to go back to God. Too stupid to go back to God. Too foolish. I love this about the grace of God. I love this. The next verse, people laugh about it. They try and debate it. They try and figure out exactly the biology. I'm far less worried about the biology. We'll get to that. But first, watch this. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. They offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. The whole ship gets saved on Jonah's detour. God is like, Jonah, you want to take a detour? That's fine, take a detour. I'll just save more people on your detour. God comes and redeems Jonah's bad decision. It was never God's purpose, God's plan for Jonah to get on the ship. Jonah got in the ship. God said, I'm going to use it anyway, and people are going to come to know who is really God. His people, they vowed to serve him. They offered him a sacrifice. And then this bit, which the biologists and the people all freak out about, I don't know exactly how it worked, but I know it did work. The Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. See, the miracle isn't how Jonah got in the fish or whatever. The miracle is that Jonah was about to die. Jonah had got himself into the biggest mess that he had created for his life. He had nowhere to get out of that mess. And God said, Jonah, in the middle of the ocean, if I need to, I'll send a fish to save you. Jonah, if you run away so far, if you get on the wrong ship, go in the wrong direction, get in the biggest storm, all because of your own bad decisions, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm going to make a way to save you. I'm going to send a fish. I don't know which situations we find ourselves in now, or I pray not, but I know we will, some of us, one day find ourselves in the ocean, busy sinking. I want to encourage you, God will send a fish. I don't know what your salvation in that moment is going to look like. I don't know what it's going to look like for God to turn that family around, that career around, that decision. I don't know what it looks like. I don't think anybody who threw Jonah overboard thought, well, we'll throw him overboard and it'll be okay because his God will just send a fish to swallow him up and spit him out in dry land again. And say, Jonah, let's talk about Nineveh again. And Jonah's like, I'll go. I'll do it right this time. I want to encourage you. God will send a fish. It sounds so foolish and it sounds so stupid, but if you are Jonah in the middle of the ocean, busy drowning, you could do with a fish. There's some of us today here, we can do with a fish. It's foolish to the world. It's a ridiculous idea. I don't even think Jonah, in the few moments that he was able to kind of to paddle and to stay afloat by himself, thought, hey God, why don't you send a fish to swallow me? I don't think that idea ever popped into his head. I don't know if he prayed. I don't know if he repented in that moment. I don't think he did, because he still argued a little bit in the fish until he eventually came to a point of saying, okay, I'll go. I want to encourage you, God will send the fish. I don't know what that fish looks like. You don't know what that fish looks like. Jesus will send a way. He makes ways in the wilderness. He makes ways to save us. Maybe we need a blue light brigade to come and save us, some of us. God makes a way. God knows when you are getting on the boat. God knows when you're in the storm. He knows when you're poured into the ocean. And he knows that he's got a fish waiting to gobble you up and to spit you out on dry land. Because he is committed to saving you. Can we stand? I want to pray for us this morning. I just realized maybe it's just for one person here. There is somebody here this morning who needs a fish. There's somebody here who is busy swimming in an ocean. You're about to be thrown overboard. You don't know how this thing is going to resolve. You know, if you're honest, that a large part of it is your own bad decision. It's like, God, how can I even expect you to save me? And God is like, well, that's the point of grace. It's not about your goodness and what you've done. It's not about you fixing the situation you made. It's about me sending my son Jesus as the ultimate fish. To save us in every situation where we are drowning, where we are overburdened, where we don't know where the out is. All we know is I am in the world's biggest mess. And I don't know how to fix this. That's a great place to be. Let Jesus fix it. Let Jesus direct. And maybe it's going to take a little bit of a fish along the way. Let Jesus send his fish. For some of us, expect a fish. Say, God, I've messed up. But you can send a fish. You can save what no one else can. Can I pray for us this morning? Jesus, I want to thank you for your word. Your word which has such amazing stories, Lord. Stories that encourage and inspire us, and sometimes make us laugh. But always point back to you. You are faithful. You will never leave us nor forsake us. David prayed that. Even if I make my bed in hell, God, you are there with me. Jonah, such a beautiful example, God, of how we run away from you at times. We try and do our own thing, our own way, make bad decisions, Lord. We expect judgment, Lord. We receive grace. We expect our hiding. Instead, we get a hug. We expect to be written off, but instead, we get a second chance, Lord. Jesus, we want to say thank you for the times you have sent fish. And we want to say thank you that you will send more fish, Lord. You have an whole ocean. I just sense God wants to say to someone here this morning, he has an ocean full of fish. You haven't used all your fish yet. It's not like you get three fish and then you're done. Jesus, you know the struggles we're in. sometimes, Lord, because we're in a sense of victims of circumstance, sometimes because of our own bad decisions. You're not intimidated by our bad decisions, and you're not put off by our bad decisions, Lord. You've got a fish waiting. And so right now, we want to thank you for grace. I want to ask, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here this morning and you're in a situation and you need a fish, I want to ask you to just be really bold and just put your hand up. Be like somebody in the ocean, busy drowning. A life vessel comes past and you're just waving, saying, here, this hand, there's a body here, there's a life that needs to be saved. Some hands going up. Don't be embarrassed if that's you. Just be bold. I need a fish, Jesus. This hand that's going up, send a fish this way. I don't know what the fish looks like. Don't know if it's a big fish or a small fish. Don't know if the fish has teeth. Don't know if it's an electronic fish. God, we pray that you would send a fish, some vehicle of salvation into every one of these lives, God. Lord, you know so much better than we do, Lord, the storm we're in, the wrestle in our heart, the challenge we face. You are so faithful to save. Your hand is not too short to heal, nor your arm too weak that it cannot save. You can save Jonah right in the middle of the ocean. And Jesus, you can save me in the middle of my storm and my mess. So we want to say thank you for fish. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for being ready right there where we are. You are ready. Have salvation prepared. So we just count on you. We count on grace. We ask, Lord, will you come and save us in the midst of our calamity and our crisis? Maybe you're here this morning and your prayer is a little bit like those sailors. You've never met Jesus, but you're seeing there's something about this Jesus. He is different. Maybe you've prayed to him, but you've never seen your prayer answered. You don't know what it means to have your sin washed away, to be set free. We would love to pray with you and for you. In just a moment, Kyle and the team are going to continue to lead us in song. You're welcome just to spend time. Pray about your storm, your challenge. Just come and sit at the feet of Jesus and know that he reigns over it. There is coffee and tea outside. You're welcome to step out, have some coffee and tea there. Especially those you're visiting, hang around a bit. We'd love to get to know you. But if you need prayer this morning, especially if you know you need to make right with your relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you as the worship begins to start again. You're welcome to just step forward. Our team will be here. We would love to pray with you, to come alongside you. We can't save you. We can't wash your sin away. But we know a God who can. He loves you more than you can ever begin to know. So God bless you. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Enjoy Sunday, but please don't leave until you've done doing business with Jesus. That which you needed to pray about and speak to him about, until it's settled in your heart that this is done. Don't run away from the presence of God.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.